Well, I desire your prayers. Brother Ed's daddy used to start all of his, or most all of his messages with, "I thank the Lord for salvation." Well, I want to say I thank the Lord tonight for salvation. There's hardly a day goes by that I don't think about that. I'm glad that I'm saved. I'm glad for the blessings that's in my life through salvation. I don't know what my life would be without it altogether, but I do know that it wouldn't be good. And I appreciate what the Lord's given me in my life. Lyndon, I'll be driving along sometimes and we'll look. I remember not long ago we saw an incident where there was a car smashed up against a police car. It was obvious that the police car had cut the guy off. There was a number of other cars, lights flashing around them, and the police was out and they dealing with the people there. It was obvious that there was a chase, and we passed by and I look over at my wife and I said, "I thank God for salvation." Remember another time was in a little town we lived by there, and there was a drunk there on the street, and he was making a scene, and a big old husky state policeman came over there and put his arms behind his back and put some cuffs on him. I went and got in the van. I said to my wife, "I thank God for salvation, because God has delivered me from a lot of things, and I appreciate it." God made a plan of salvation. And I'm glad that he did. It'd be foolish for me to think in terms of changing it. He's God. And he made it just the perfect plan of delivering the soul. And it would be foolish of me to start looking at that plan in ideas that it ought to be different than it is. Or in a way of saying, maybe I'll alter it from it. That's not our place to do that. God made the plan of salvation.
Yes, it is.
It's a perfect plan and it works to the salvation of the soul. We can go to heaven with it. But I notice a lot of people don't like it the way that it is. And they begin to alter it, or try to. It's really there's no altering the plan, because God's got the plan.
Yes.
Folks, if we go to heaven, we'll go by God's plan for salvation. But people want to alter it, and so they look into the book, and they find ways to change lifestyles. They find ways of acceptable living that's not there. I don't want that. I thought of one time in my mind, I thought of the Lord coming and saying to me, "You choose the life that you want to live, and I'll make it come to pass." And in my mind, I said, "No, Lord. No, I tried that before. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think that now that I have the wisdom or capability of being able to plan my life. I would be more than willing to say to the Lord, the path you chose for me is the one I want to go down."
Yes.
And the Lord chooses all kind of different lives. I don't know how many of you knew him, but I met a man one time by the name of Charlie Williams. Anybody remember Brother Williams? He was well up in the years. He must have been in his 80s at the time. And he told me, "I've lived all my life and never had a drop of medicine." He said, "I've never been sick much." If the Lord had said, "You want," I'd say, "Well, maybe I will take a little of that, if it's your will." The Lord chose for this, brother. My understanding is that he was a very respected man.
lived a life for the Lord that he was honored. He had, the Lord chose for this man health and honor. The people of the community around him spoke highly of Charlie Williams. He was a man that conducted himself in a way that was one of respect, and he was respected. God chose his vessel unto honor and unto health. He chose for him a life that I am convinced for Brother Charlie was a winning way. I think it got him to heaven. But you know, he don't choose that for everybody. There is people that he chooses heartache. Heartache all their life, Brother Ed. You know, there's people, I know some people that all their life, basically, I look at it and say, what a road to go down. Yep. Sister Virginia Myers has been physically afflicted ever since I know her. Yep. And not just a little bit. It's not just a cold or not. She is greatly afflicted. Yep. And has been all of her life. Her family life was rough and hard. She's proven the grace of God through it time and time again. I've seen her down in things and hobbling around when she could hobble. I don't think she can now, but she hobbled. She came to service with a smile. She hurt. She was in pain. The things around her was in turmoil, but she had grace. She had grace. She chose for Brother Charlie one thing and chose for Sister Virginia another. Total, another. I won't argue with the Lord about his plan. He's got a good plan. It's a plan of salvation. But no matter what plan that the Lord makes for us in life, there are some things that are standards. It doesn't matter whether it's Brother Charlie or Sister Virginia, or anywhere between that. All is all. There was people in the scriptures that the Lord told them, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And from that time forth, many of his disciples walked no more with him because of the saying. Jesus turns to his disciples and said, the 12, I suppose, he turned to them and said, will you go also? Will you leave? I've said these words to those that are around, and this is what they've done with them. What are you going to do with these words? I got a plan of salvation for you. You got to eat my flesh, drink my blood. Basically, of what I am, you've got to be too. Of my character and who I am and of what I'm here for, all this, you got to take it on you. Will you go also? You know, I think I think old Peter could have probably said, that's right. That's a hard saying. I don't think that they said that, no, that's an easy saying. It was a hard saying. But his response back, go down through the ages. Where would we go? Where would we go? I ain't here to change your plan, Lord. Give me grace for it. Help me to endure my part, live my part, my time. 2011, soon to be 12, here in this evil time, in this evil generation, in what I have to endure and what I have to go through. I'm not here to change no plan. I'm not here to see a different road or an easier road. Where would we go? Folks, do you realize that there's only one plan of salvation? Offered, freely offered to you for eternal salvation. We're only here for a little while. And Peter said, Lord, where would we go? what an answer back to the Lord. Lord, it's not like there's another, you got another option? Lord, do you really got a plan to where I can get saved when I'm a child and then live any ungodly life I want to and still be saved? Is that a plan? You got a plan for me like that? You got a plan to where I can treat my neighbor any way I want to and I can do anything I want to and I can see it all the time if I want to? You got a plan for me? If you got another plan, where's it at? What's the plan? No, Peter didn't look for the other plan. The hard saying was the hard saying. As he is, so are we in this world. We don't have the option of not being that. We don't have the option of being not like Christ. My thought tonight as it came to me is the Lord is calling after us. My thought is true Christianity. Being like Christ. Really, really being like Christ. Peter said, Lord, to whom, where would we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I'll be honest with you. I'm not that smart. I don't know everything. But I believe tonight he does. And I think he made a plan tonight for every one of us in here. A plan of salvation. And he wants us to be saved. And he wants us to plan. And if we'll set in our hearts, as Peter did, Lord, where would we go? Where would we go? I need to know, Lord, thou hast the words of eternal life. This is the way I'm going. Lord, don't allow me to slip and slide on this. Don't allow me to be taken. Don't allow the old devil to take advantage of me here. What's your plan? What's the plan? Give me grace for the things I don't understand. Give me grace for the things that I do. Give me grace to overcome. Give me grace to be what you would have me to be. I'd like to look at a scripture in Romans 14th chapter. I started out when I got saved being fascinated at the Bible. And I'm still fascinated by it. The power of its words. The witness that it has to me. I got to reading the Bible after I got saved and said, it's just amazing how well it knows me. I keep seeing me all the time. See, keep seeing me and how it uncovers me and I see me all the time in there. And some of these words of Paul's writings, and I know he was a man of great understanding, but I wonder how much that he wrote of that is just profound. I wonder if he really knew how profound it was when he wrote it. I know in preaching sometimes I'll say something, somebody will come back to me and say, that was so profound. You said that? And I said, did I? did I? Yeah, you said such and such, and this is what it meant and all that. And I said, well, that is profound. I didn't think of it that way. But the Lord wrote this for us. In the 14th chapter, Romans, I'm going to start with the 6th verse. It says, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. And I won't spend much time on this. It's not really my thought, but Paul was dealing with all the different aspects from the Jews' religion to the Romans, and those that are around, and the conflict between faithful people that had structure in their life of religion. Of all their life of being taught something that meant something to them in the observance of days and the observance of what they eat and what was clean and unclean. And Paul deals with this matter in quite a way. He's basically saying the man that does it, and he does it with his heart. And he observes the day, and because he believes that the God is honored with the observance of the day, he keeps the day. And he does it diligently with his heart. And God be pleased with it. Because the man gave of himself, of time and of attention and of a mind he gave to God. And he kept a day and he kept it unto the Lord. The next day, the next man may look at that and say, God be well pleased for me not to keep the day. And with the same heart and diligence and the same devotion, he don't keep the day. But he does it unto the Lord with the same fervor. He resists on every pressure to keep what he believes pleases God. You know, God be pleased with it. God's pleased with it. Because of his heart, he gives his all. This is what Paul was really talking about here. God's looking down and wanting the same thing from every individual, regardless of the avenue that it comes through. So Brother Charlie, he lived a life of, but he gave his all. He gave his all in everything that he had. He had a certain life and he gave his all to it. He used his health to witness for God. Oh, he would have been a man afflicted if God had afflicted him, but he gave his health. And he lived to be an old man. And he gave God that life, and God was honored with this man's life. He gave it to him. He gave it all to him. And he was, God was honored. And God is honored with Sister Virginia in the suffering and in her faithfulness to serve God. She gives her all. And God's pleased with the all. To one man, he looks and say, I can't observe the day. I don't understand. I think God's pleased if I don't. And with his whole heart, he resists the temptation. He resists everything. And with his whole heart, he gives to God. And God is well pleased. And to the next man, with the same diligence, he does the same thing in keeping the same day that the other man didn't. But in his heart, he gave all to the Lord. And the Lord wants all. The same thing's true with all of us. He wants us to give of our all. Yes. It's the plan. You want to try to change it? If I have bad things happen, then it happens bad. I thought of somebody up home. They went and got them some, started a little, they have some cattle, and they started with some cattle and got the word the other day. They had about a 1,200-pound steer, best I understand it, up and died on him. Well, that was pretty discouraging. Have something like that happened? He'd even put a prayer request in on it. Of course, it had been acting funny. He'd put a prayer request in on it, but it died. But with the same honor, we honor the Lord in the bad. Well, I mean, in the good. He chose me for a way. I don't always feel good, but I've been healthy most all my life. I've looked at others that's been sick most all their life. But I've been that, but the Lord wants me to give my all in it, no matter what it is. So he says, some eat and some don't eat. One man goes, gets him a big pork chop, fries it up, seasons it real good, and he bows his head. And with all his heart, he says, Lord, I'm sure thankful that you provided this for me. And Lord, I want the strength that I get from this to be used to glorify you. And God's heart's touched. And another man says with the same diligence, Lord, to be faithful, I'd never touch something like that. And with all my heart, I give to you. And God is well pleased. So he goes on and says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. The Lord help me here. You're not an island. I'm not an island. You ever think about how much we have depended on one another? You ever think about how much we depended on those that went before us? Anybody in here smart enough to build a car? Why, yeah, sure. You got the blueprints already. There's cars being built. You go look and see how the pistons run, do all that. Somebody started this thing all off about 100 years ago. Yes. And we're the beneficiaries of it. By the same things, the judgments that you make in life, do you know that they don't stand by themselves? Do you know our understandings of this time has been tried and tested by people that live life? It's true. I make judgments of many things in my life by saying, there's people that's walked this way. There's some that's failed by not doing it or by doing it, depending on the circumstance. And there's others that have been successful by laying it aside or picking it up. We don't, and this is what this is talking about. Paul was saying, we don't live to ourselves. I don't have the, I personally don't have the technology to be able to weave a shirt like this. Somebody understood that. Centuries ago, people started working with stuff like that and doing that. I'm just a beneficiary of it, of judgments, of the way we live, of the things we do. We're not independent of anything. We all, no man lives to himself. Brother Ron Zacharias' mother, Johanna. These simple little things, I just admire them so much. She's an older lady and she will get her wool off the sheep and she'll clean it and then she'll take it and dye it and whatever color she wants, and then she'll take it and start spinning it, and she'll spin it into yarn, and then she takes the yarn and she makes things out of it. Still to this day, she's very skilled at it. And I just love, to me, it's the most special, one of the most special gifts. She gives me these wool socks. They're very warm. I hold them so dear that I told her, I said, I want you to know this. I hold these so dear that I hate to wear them. She said, you don't worry about it. You just wear them and I'll get you some more. But one of these days, she's not going to be around. And how many people do you know can do that? She learned it when she was a wee little girl in Germany because everybody needed to do that. And so they learned how to do it, and she's very, you know, and the socks are just wonderful. They're warm. They're nice. It's a special, special gift when she gives me those. Because she really labored and she done all this, and I find it fascinating. We don't live to ourselves. No. Nobody lives to themselves. And Paul was saying, you don't live to yourself, but more than that, more than the what that we have with one another. But it's still the same thing. But he's saying, no man lives without God. Do they?
No.
Do we understand anything without him? It's impossible. Do we know of salvation? Do we know how to live life? Do we do anything? We don't live to ourselves, folks. God is instrumental in our lives. Whether you admit it or you don't admit it, God is instrumental. We don't live to ourselves. Nobody can. And by the same token, nobody dies to themselves.
No.
Do you know anybody that dies to themselves? Do you know God has a right for that life? You don't live for yourself. You don't live to yourself. Your life means something. And God wants that life in his control to mean something. That's what he's talking about. He's calling for your life. It's the only thing that you can give him. You got a right to it. He gave it to you. He let you have it. You can do whatever you want to with it. And the only thing that the Lord will do, he made a plan of salvation. Then he calls. That's what he's doing now. He's calling. He's pleading. He's saying, give me back. You don't live to yourself. I am God. You don't live to yourself. You live because of me. You live because of, we live in an information age, but who, did you come up with the information? You know, that information is a very small part of what God allowed us to understand. I believe that. God can withhold any information God wants to withhold. And no man could dig it out. I think there is mystery beyond countless multitudes of mysteries that people don't know and will never know. Because God said, I'm not going to let you know. We don't live to ourselves. And the life that we live is God's. And he said, you don't live to yourself. And no man dies to himself. The life that you live will affect somebody, and God wants it to affect the right way. Do you know that there has been many, many people saved because of someone dying? It's a time to touch. Funerals has been set primarily. I read this one time that you can judge a people by the way they bury their dead. Not too many years ago, I remember a guy that his funeral, there was no preacher. They had a keg party. And I remember these words come back to me when I heard that. That you can judge a people by the way they bury their dead. And it surely was true. It surely was true. They put off the idea of the needs of the soul. They put off the idea that man goes back to his creator to give an account. And they simply had a keg party, beer party, in his remembrance. So, but no man dies to himself. His death affected him. To one way or to the other, it's all affected. We have a life. He says that for whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. The Lord said, if you eat not of my flesh and drink of my blood, you're no part of me. That's a hard saying. What does it mean? The old saying is, you are what you eat. He meant you take me on. We have it sometimes in our ordinance service. And we come up and we break the bread and we hand this bread out and we say, this is the body of the Lord Jesus broken for you. And then we, in our solemn thoughts, say, I'll partake of that. You ever think about that? It was broken. What's that mean? Yes, Lord, I'll be broken. I'll follow the path. I'll go down that line too. I'm not going to live to myself. I'm going to live for you. Whether we live, whether we die, we're the Lord's in life and in death. The world don't want to hear this. Maybe we've come accustomed to our modern age that it's almost wrong to say it. But God expects this physical life. He wants us to give it to him. It's biblical. It's biblical. We're not to take our own lives to ourselves. When we give it to the Lord, we're not only giving it to say, I want to live a prosperous life here and be 100 and die in my sleep. We're giving it a life to say in our faithfulness, the Lord's calling. The Lord's calling for people that are real Christians that will really give themselves to God. To say, Lord, this life of mine, you shed yours? Not just in, what do we say, in type? Well, let it be in type. It's more than in type. It's in reality. Lord, my life is yours. To live, to die, at your choice, at your beckoning. I'll die young, I'll die old. I give it to you to use. I'll go where you tell me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. But my life is given to you. Folks, there's only one plan. He didn't make another one. And this is part of the plan. We call it sanctification. That's what we call it. We call it sanctification. We give our all, is your all, on the altar today. It means I've not reserved anything, Lord. It's all yours. A scribe came to the Lord one time and he said, Lord, I will go with you whithersoever thou goest. And the Lord said, the birds have nests and the fox have holes and the son of man hath nowhere to lay his head. And that scripture ended right there. And I think it was purposed that it ended right there. It didn't say what the comeback was. It didn't say anything, but it leaves in my imagination. The guy said, oh, I was talking about when you fed the 5,000. I was talking about the wine in the jugs. I was talking about the blessings of being taken care of. I didn't really realize that part of it. Well, that was the Lord's answers. It must have meant something. It meant really? It meant really? You just made, you said, you really mean it? This is true Christianity. This is true devotion. This is truly the plan. I don't read of another one, folks, from the start of Genesis. It was, you give your all. It's more important than anything else in life to serve God. And down through the times, men that were faithful did it and was willing to give their lives for it. Old Job, remember Job? After all that was being done and all that he was attacked on, he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Yes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He had that first in his life. Whether we live then, he says, whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. We are the Lord's. In all this that he wanted, all that the Lord had done, he simply made a pattern for you and I. He went the way before us. He gave his life. Then there was a man just not long after that of the name of Stephen. Old Stephen got a hold of the Lord real good. And he started preaching. And he started telling them, and he used strong language to tell them, you're the children of the ones that killed the prophets. And he's telling them, you're their children. You killed the Lord. And he taught them real good, and they started gritting their teeth and gnashing on him, and they said, we'll take care of this one. And they started stoning him to death. To death? To death? You mean that's what this thing's about? That a servant of God, the scripture said, and being full of the Holy Ghost. You mean a man being full of the Holy Ghost be stoned to death? That's right. Yes. And then he looked and glimpsed into the other world a little bit. As being stoned to death. That was part of the plan. You say plan? Stephen said, whether I live, I'm the Lord's. Whether I die, I'm the Lord's. The Lord used the death of Stephen to write many of the books of the Bible. You ever think about it? Yes. There was a man there, young man. Oh, he didn't throw a stone. He held the coats of the ones that did. Is he innocent or is he guilty? He didn't say he threw any stones. He said he held the coats. When I was in grade school one time, we had some conservation officers come to teach hunter safety class in our, I think it was about sixth grade. And teachers all left and left them there. Well, they was authority in game conservation, but they wasn't an authority in the classroom. And so one airplane ended up being another one. And first thing you know, it was a lot of airplanes just being thrown back, and they was trying to do their thing, but it was just people throwing airplanes. And honest, I never threw an airplane. I made most all the airplanes. I was a good airplane maker. And so I made all these airplanes, and they kept me busy. I was making airplanes. Well, after the end of it, the teachers of the class was very embarrassed, and they was ready to take action. So they got all the students together, and they talked to them. And it got to the point that nobody hardly could deny anything. I mean, it was all like, well, he did it. Yeah, finally it was kind of said, and they said to me about it. And I said, well, I never threw any airplanes. And I said, no, I made them. Teacher kind of scratched his head, and he said, they paddled back then. And he said, never paddled anybody for making an airplane. Kind of wondered a little bit, and he said, well, I don't
I don't guess we could really say there's anything wrong with making airplanes. I was the only person in the class that didn't get a paddling. But you know, I always thought I should have. I think he was guilty. I know I was. He was guilty. But I'm going to tell you, it led to something. Stephen's life, given to the Lord. I say life, his death. You say it's too hard for me. I'm going to have to think about this one. That's what the disciples meant when they said this is a hard saying. You mean I might have to actually, you're not really cutting your life short. But you know what I'm saying? It's the plan. God's plan. I think Abraham Lincoln probably said it best in all the things that I could think of it. I think in his Gettysburg Address, you remember that? He wasn't actually even the speaker that they was told. He actually, on his way there, was asked to say a few words, and he scribbled out a few lines that will be remembered probably as long as history stands. The words, just a little bitty thing. He wrote it on the back of an envelope, I believe, as he went there. But they were profound. And one of the things that stuck out with me in it is that he said that they gave their last full measure of devotion. What else could you do? You know, you can write letters to the Congress or you can make all of that, but these men laid their life down for a nation. It's the ultimate that you can do. If all that you could do, you'd say, what is your part going to be in this? You might come up with all kinds of, I'll be the writer, I'll be the one that makes the planes, or I'll be the one that does this, or I'll be the one that stands in the back. But these men gave the full measure. They gave all in the passion of the cause, and for the purpose of the cause. My understanding is there was upward to 50,000 men died in the 3-day battle at Gettysburg. Bloodiest thing you ever heard of. There was instances of cannons with they had artillery canisters that was just full of scrap chains, all kinds, and they would shoot them things, and those Confederates would be coming across those fields in ranks, and those cannons would blast, and when the smoke cleared, one whole rank would be gone. Terrible, and faced him right into that, and on the other side, here was these people fighting that a nation might stay together. And they gave their full measure of that, and over 23,000 men died for the Union cause. And when Abraham Lincoln said of that, he said, "Let it not be done in vain." They gave their last full measure. They gave all that they could give. What can a man give more than giving his very life for it? Is there anything in your life so dear that you'd give your life for it? Because I can tell you right now, there's things in my life worth dying for.
Yes, sir.
You ever hear about someone's house on fire and they got children in there and they go running back into an inferno and they say, how ridiculous. It may be, but I understand it. Listen, if it ever come to it, I'd be that man. I don't know that I could live with myself if it didn't. I'd run in there for my children. Yes, I would. I'd die for my wife. 10 times over, I'd die for her. I'd suffer every pain that she's got. I would. They gave their last full measure. Folks, that's the plan. You can't tweak it. You can't change it. And not want to. The plan of salvation is that kind of sanctification. I will give to God my last full measure of devotion. Lord, you died for me. Eternity's waiting. And you know, it's a part of the plan. I'm not so sure you can make it without it. It's what the plan is. The plan is to give that. And Jesus said to his disciples in one place, if you don't do it, yea, your own life also. You cannot be my disciple. If you don't take up your cross, what's a cross for? The suffering part, the denial, the heartache, the problem on this side, that's the old cross. you don't take that up, you cannot be my disciple. You got devotion? What's your last full measure? I'm going to tell you, when I think of Jesus on the cross, I personalize it, of course. I think we all do. I know he died for the sins of the world, but he died for Marty Clevenger. That suffering, that pain, what he went through was because of the sins that I committed in my life and the price that I could not pay. And he paid it. And he paid it with passion. He paid it with devotion. He paid it to my soul. And it's forever paid. And it's there. But folks, the plan can't change. It won't change. God won't change it. He only calls us to it. You want to be a part of something? You know, there's an old saying out there in the world that there's an advertisement that looking for a few good men. Looking for somebody that can be a Marine. Looking for somebody that can dare to. You dare to? They challenge people. They're challenging people. They're challenging young men. You're soft and wimpy. This ain't the job for you. You're a man. We're looking for a few. How many? How many's going to make it through this? A few. It won't be great crowds go this way. He's looking for a few. He's looking for somebody that's willing to hear the call. Say, Lord, that's me. That's me. You died for me. What makes somebody give that kind of devotion? Maybe I shouldn't say this about the living. He ain't here, so if you want to erase it from the tape, that'd be okay. But remember the story that Sister Irma told about Brother Michael. After Brother Bob died, she made the comment, one of the sad things about it was is that nobody would probably be willing to go back to Africa. And he looked her in the eye and said, Mom, don't be so sure. Don't be so sure. Something was running deep in there. He was already saying, Lord, I'll die. I know what the danger of that field over there is. I've seen Brother Bob wasn't the first one that gave his life for that. And he said, I'll go. What made him do that? Oh, Jesus said to Peter, lovest thou me? I love you, Lord. Feed my sheep. Okay, what's that mean? It means when they don't like you, you feed them. I never know that sheep bite, but people do. I don't know about sheep kicking and clawing, but people do. They get stubborn. And he said to him a second time, lovest thou me? Lord, thou knowest I love you. Feed my sheep. You wonder why he was so much like, I'm going to tell you, from my ministry, maybe I'm totally wrong with the scriptures, from my experience, I think I know what he was meaning when he did Peter that way. I think it come back to him a lot of times. It wasn't just the passion of feeding the sheep. It was that I love Jesus. And he asked me to do it. And I'll die doing it. This is one of my favorite scriptures, and no doubt you've probably heard me tell it many times. But there was a time that King David, looked over the city of Bethlehem. And I only imagine the scene, if you'll give me liberty for it. They wasn't down there at the well, the Philistines was. There was a garrison down there. And David's out and he looks down there and he says, oh, how I long to have a drink from that well down there. Oh, in my mind, they've carried these old goat skins around for a few days and got some old water in there that's probably, it can get to 114 over there or higher. And this old water sloshing around, you could just tell about how appealing that water would be. And he looks down there and remembers that deep well down there and that good, cool water. And he said, oh, I long to have a drink. And there was some men there that his longing was all they needed. It was all they needed. Their passion run so hot. They loved him so much and had devoted so much of their life. Folks, this is what we call sanctification. They girded themselves up, three of them did. And they went down there, and in my mind, they went down there with such determination and fire in their eyes. That the Philistines probably just stepped back and said, if water's all you want, we won't even contend you for it. And in my mind, they got and there was two back to back there facing them with their swords ready, and another guy was drawing water, and they was daring them, we'll get this water or die. And they took that water back to the Lord, and to me, it's one of the most beautiful stories in the scriptures. They took that back to David in the love of their hearts. Do you know there's other men there that could have done something as simply as fluffing his pillow, and the blessing was on them if they loved him. These men were devoted men, devout, and they done a deed worthy of only God, and David recognized it. And when they brought that water back, see, that water represented more than just water. These men's blood was there. Not because they actually spilled it, but see, in God's world, it's different than in our world. The fact that they risk it meant that they've shed it. It's the same way with us today. When you say to the Lord, Lord, I'm willing to go wherever you send me. You've went to Africa or any other place in the world to the Lord. When you mean it, you get counted for it. They brought that to David, and David saw that, and he said, I can't drink this. Not worthy of it. And he gave that water. Now you imagine that would have been. And he poured it out on the ground. And you say, well, it's soaked up in the ground. No. The same chain worked from David to the Lord. He said, I'm going to give these men's devotion to one that's worthy of the devotion. Lord, they done it unto me, but they done it unto you. They done it unto the king, but it's unto God. And he poured it out and said, Lord, basically, Lord, drink the water. Be refreshed. If the Lord Jesus would have been here himself, David would have let him drink the water. It's the same thing as washing his feet with your tears. It's the same thing as the devotion that's been many had towards him. They gave themselves to the Lord. Yes. Folks, it's the plan today of salvation. You may say it's the difference between the true and the false. It's between the real and that which is not real. It will draw a line in everybody's life. When it comes down to it, oh, it's not a great sacrifice to go to service on Sunday. It's not a great sacrifice even to travel the miles that we travel. That's no sacrifice, really. It comes down to my life. My life. Yes, Lord. You take it too. Folks, it's the plan. It has been and will always be. The plan. People have fulfilled this in my generation. There has been those. My dear old grandmother loved the Lord. She loved the Lord. That's all. You couldn't go to her house and her not talk about the Lord. She did not understand. She told me there were some religious people in the family and all, and they'd come to see her. And she says, Marty, I don't understand them. They'll come here and they don't want to talk about the Lord. Well, that was my grandmother, but I'm going to tell you, I remember her telling me just shortly before she died, she said, Marty, I'm tired, and I want to go home. She did not kick. She did not struggle. She didn't long for the life of this world. She said, I'm tired, and I want to go home. Live my life for the Lord. I'm going to go see him. And gave her life. She gave her life for it. She trusted in the Lord. And the Lord took her. And there was those that looked and said, what a crazy old woman. What a crazy old woman. She was 79 years old when she died. And they said, what a crazy old woman. She lived to be 79 years old. And she went away peaceful. Let me be crazy too. Let me be that crazy. It's the plan. It's been the plan. And it will always be the plan. That we give our full devotion to the Lord. Willing to live, willing to die, willing to go, willing to stay. Brother Sammons used to teach us, I remember him saying many times, if you want to go, you pray till you can stay. And then you'd be free to go. If you want to go, he'd say, you pray till you can stay. And when you get to the point that you can stay, then you'd be free to go. But it's not about us. It's about the Lord. Another scripture is in Revelation 12. I pray that the Lord would allow this message to resound in our hearts. Not just tonight, but as we live life, to realize that what we do in life, we don't live to ourselves. Every one of us have a sphere of influence. We don't live to ourselves. And God wants to use that place for his own glory, for the salvation of others. And he may use it in your life, and he may use it in your death. There has been many times people that got great holds of the Lord through the death of the saints of God. Over in Revelation 12, in the 10th verse, it says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brother is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb." Thank God for the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for the penalty that was paid for us, for the atonement. Thank God that he shed his blood. Faith in that. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, there was three positive things here in their life of overcoming. It was the blood of the Lamb that they believed in. Folks, no matter how long we live or how wise we get, we are always indebted to it. We will forever be saved by the blood of the Lamb. You couldn't do it yourself. You couldn't come up with a plan. By his blood, he made access. Then it says, and by the word of their testimony. You have a testimony? See, this is more than just the idea of talking. This means there's something to say. I've got an experience to tell. Not only that you tell it or you don't, but you got to have the experience of it. It's the testimony that you own. My testimony is that the blood works. My testimony is that there's a power of God. That's my testimony. By the word of their testimony ringing forth in their life, I'm saved, thank God. I'm a new creature, thank God. He performed the work on me. It's not only my testimony, it's the reality of my life that's the testimony. It works. Oh, the scripture, what is it? Luke 1 and 74, that he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hands of our enemy might serve him without fear before him all the days of our life in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. That sounds, how could you gainsay something like that? That he would grant unto us we being delivered out of the hands of our enemies? We're delivered out of it that we might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness. It's part of the plan. It's part of the plan. All the days of our life is victory. The word of our testimony. And then the third part. It is so valuable. It's a must. And they love not their lives, these physical lives, unto death. They gave. They come to the place to be able to so willingly surrender who they were, their lives, to God. There was a scripture where a rich young man came to the Lord. And he said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord spoke something, but he said to him, "Keep the commandments." He said, "Lord, I've done that from my youth up. What lack I?" And the Lord said to him, "Go
and sell all that you have and take up your cross and follow me. The scripture said two different points. One was that the Lord loved him. It says, and the Lord loved him and told him that. Now you might say, Lord, is there a plan B on that one? No, young feller. I loved you when I said that. This is the plan. This is the plan. You go sell all that you have. And you take up your cross and you follow me. And the scripture says that he went away sorrowful, grieved, heart-stricken, because he was rich. You know what the Lord actually called for? What was this man's name? A Joseph, Benjamin? Surely the man had a name. Yeah, he had a name. He had a name before God. Rich Young Ruler. It was his identity. And that's what God saw. And they told it that way. And what did God ask for? His name. He was about to change it. He was going to change it from Rich Young Ruler into Disciple of the Lord. He was going to change it into Faithful. He was going to change it into Obedient. He was going to change it into an Overcomer. Someone that loved not his life unto death. That looked into the next world and said, it's worth it. It's worth it. I'm giving my feeble little life here and I'm going to live forever with the Lord over there one day and I'm going to give. Folks, it was the plan then and it's the plan now. The Lord's calling. I feel it in my spirit. The Lord calling. And we'll tell you something. He wants you to recognize what your name is tonight. And he wants you to be willing to change it if it needs changed. He wants to give you a title that's going to resonate forever through eternity. I'm not sure there's going to be anybody in heaven by the name of Rich Young Ruler. He's going to change the identity of that person. Oh, Saul was a coat holder of stone throwers. Paul was a faithful servant of God. And he changed his name. He changed his identity. What was it? Jacob was a supplanter. A deceiver. Israel was a man with God. And God met him. And at the meeting, he says, I'm going to change your name. Wrestled around there a long while with him, and then he told him, your name's not Jacob. You know what he was about to do? Jacob was about to run into Esau, one of the people that he had supplanted. And Esau had sharp teeth and had fire in his eye. And he had a purpose of destroying the one that had done that to him. And he remembered that. And Jacob ran into the Lord. He sought God. And he wrestled with him. And I'm going to tell you, he was able to meet Esau. And God worked on Esau before he got there. But he wouldn't want to have met him as that supplanter. But he told him after that, your supplanting days are over. We're not going to call you that anymore. We're going to call you Israel. We're going to change and alter your person. And I know we all have names, but you know we all have spiritual names. Now, I believe that tonight. Every one of us is going to be known by something. Every one of us. You know, I think of some of the people that's in my world. And I know they have names. Brother Salmon's had a name. It was Brother Salmon's. But you know there was something about it. I think I could know him if it was just his spirit brushed me. There was something about Brother Salmon's that's unique to Brother Salmon's. But the Lord gave him that name. He gave him that. He wants to give us that. My burden is true Christianity. And I hope the Lord will help us tonight. It has been the plan. And folks, it's always the plan. I fear that we don't meet that plan. I fear that we want to alter that plan in some way in this modern technological advanced world of ours. It almost seems barbaric to say it. But it's still going to cost you your life. Well, that's fanatic. Well, it may be fanatic, but it's the plan God made. And it works. You pray for me.
504.